Let's get to our guest, John Vale, Chief Global Strategist at Nikko Asset Management. John, we had Priya Misra on the show earlier from TD Securities, and she basically was saying that, you know, this the question is whether the narrative of front loading comes to an end. And it's a point that I made a lot last week that you can't say you're front loading and then, you know, that's the whole tamale. I mean, at some point, you have to move into like your mid stage and your closing stage, and they've done a lot, and they're bound to say at some point here that they want to take a look and assess. Are markets right to celebrate that, or should they still be very wary?
Well, yeah, Priya is a very smart lady, but I tend to agree with you that everybody knew that they would be hiking at a less fast rate going forward. But the market is also thinking that it's not going to cut as much as they previously thought. That's the big news, that for 2023, the Fed Fund Futures contract is suggesting a lot less hiking, not a lot less, but quite a bit less hiking than they previously expected.
What about in terms of inflation? It is remaining stubbornly high, but then again, it is a backward-looking number. So to what degree do you sense the Fed's done enough in this fight?
Well, I don't think anybody really knows for sure, but it's other than it's coming down, but everybody knows that. It's just a question of how far. There's a lot of structural things that will help it fall in 2023, including the CPI medical services component, which is going to be growing at a lot lower pace based on the way the BLS does its sort of annual benchmarking of the number. So that's going to be a restraint on core CPI and headline CPI. But on the other hand, rents obviously going to keep going up as the CPI catches up as new leases are signed.
So at some point when we see, you know, some signal that they'll slow down at the Fed and other central banks, you probably would see the dollar come down and local currencies go up. So if I don't want to play equities, can I at least play local currency bonds and hope that, I get sort of a double whammy there where you get the good yield, it's actually a triple whammy. You get the good yield, you get the bond going up, and then you get the currency in your back pocket as well.
I like that idea. Sounds pretty good.
well, here's the danger, though. Okay, and I know that you're a Japan expert, so it kind of feeds into the problem is if the dollar goes down and the yen goes up, that may not be good for Japanese equities. It's one place where they seem to love a weak currency.
Well, yes. I mean, that would be a headwind for corporate profits here, but it would also increase the foreign interest in this country if they could invest in Japan without losing money on the currency side. And the valuations here are so low, it's got to be attractive to foreigners at some point, but a lot of them have been shying away because of the currency factor.
And John, we were discussing a moment ago the yen, its effect on Japanese equities. But in terms of the level of the yen, 148.21 right now, the rhetoric around strengthening that seems to have died down a little. Do you sense that policymakers are now comfortable with where we are? Are we at the bottom?
Well, the policy of the Ministry of Finance, who controls the intervention situation, is not the BOJ, which actually is just their broker, is not to stop the yen from depreciating. It's just to reduce the volatility and making sure that nobody thinks it's a one-way bet. And they've succeeded in that regard, and that volatility has decreased. But I don't think they're targeting any one particular yen rate. And they just get very upset, and rightly so, when it spikes.
I promised that we would talk a little bit about China. Let's talk a little bit about the Party Congress. Some in the marketplace are saying, you know, this kind of marks a big change, the end of the pro-growth period, and that the humiliating send-off that Hu Jintao was given was a strong signal that a new era has begun. Does that sound scary for investors, or do you think it's all just a little bit of an overreaction?
I don't know about scary, but it's worrisome. Clearly, and they've certainly promised after that they're going to be not so tough as the market is sort of talking about right now. There's still, you know, pro-economic growth and everything else that should help. But yeah, it is worrisome that they don't have any real technocrats sort of at the top, and that maybe it's even supposed to be worrisome, that it's supposed to tell everybody that, you know, they're really serious about their national security situation. It's a very unhappy relationship with the rest of the world at this point for both sides. So it's certainly been worrisome for quite some time, and maybe it's even a little bit more worrisome now.
From an investing perspective, though, it is very hard to turn your back on the world's second largest economy, never mind the political climate. So how do you invest around this?
Well, you're right that it's a very big portion of the emerging markets MSCI index, and some people are starting to strip it out, as far as I've heard from the States, primarily for ESG reasons, I believe, but it's also maybe just for diversification reasons. So, but you're right. I mean, it's a big part of the index. If you're a passive investor, you're going to be having a lot of money in China. And, you know, it's very difficult, obviously, to invest in China. The information is quite limited at certain times. We have a joint venture there with analysts on the ground. We've got lots of people, you know, studying the stock market from outside of China as well. So you basically just have to do your bottoms-up analysis and try to outperform the index.
John, you bring up a good point that perhaps China's leadership in the EM complex is lessening now because investors feel less comfortable investing there. So where does the leadership move to?
Well, it could be quite good for the rest of Asia, including Japan, if money moves out of China. It's going to be looking for other homes. And Japan is obviously not part of the emerging market index, but you have heard stories about people diversifying out of China and into Japan, and certainly that would be a fillip for this market.
And India.
And India, too. Yes, Asian markets probably in general, I would suppose. You know, if it's big money, it's kind of hard to stick a lot of money in some of these ASEAN countries, but it's it could help quite a bit.
All right, John Vale, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. John Vale is Chief Global Strategist at Nikko Asset Management.